This is Mental Wellness with licensed therapist Anne-Marie Matthewed. Mental Wellness provides general information regarding mental health. The information is not intended to create a doctor-patient relationship. You're encouraged to consult your own medical provider for advice that applies to your own mental health care. And now, Anne-Marie Matthewed on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Hi, this is Anne-Marie Matthewed from Colchester Counseling Associates, and I'm here today on WTIC News Talk 1080, and we are doing our mental wellness segment. So thank you for listening. Today we're going to talk about caregiver stress, the emotional side of caregiver stress. You know, often becoming a caregiver for a loved one happens to us in an unplanned way, right? We usually don't expect it. Our loved one either becomes too elderly to care for themselves, or we have a family member that ends up with a chronic illness or a disability, but it's usually not something that we plan on, and we don't expect it. And it can really take a toll on us, our family, and the person we're caring for. You know, there's mixed emotions that we experience when we realize a loved one needs us for caregiving. We want to help, but part of us doesn't want to have to help. You know, how will we fit that in? How will we keep all our responsibilities and still caregive and caregive well? You know, we wonder, will we be good enough? Will we do things the right way? Will we take good care of our loved one? Those are just a few things that might cross our minds when we step into this role. You know, it becomes a juggling act, right? Maybe you have kids at home and you're having to take care of a parent or a grandparent. You might have a job. You know, you have other responsibilities. Maybe you even just became an empty nester and you're sort of done with caregiving. You've raised children and now you have to step back into that kind of role. So it can be challenging, to say the least. One of the things I want to talk about is that it can be hard to keep our boundaries straight when we become a caregiver. And by boundaries, I mean, where do we begin and end? You know, where is our self in all of these tasks that we have to complete? What's appropriate to take on and what isn't? That's one way to talk about boundaries. What happens is we begin to prioritize, right? Because we have to. And often when we're prioritizing, we put ourselves last. And that's an unfortunate byproduct of, for most of us, of being a caregiver. We end up sort of putting our needs at the bottom of the barrel. Especially if we have other people in our lives, such as children or spouse or other family members that we also have to take care of. So one thing to remember is don't be a martyr. You'll be good to no one if you do that. You know, you have to practice self-care. And we talked about self-care in an earlier segment. How do we impose self-care? What is self-care to you? Everybody's different when we talk about self-care. Some people have a hobby that they enjoy. They like to do puzzles. They like to go on hikes. Some people have a sport that's their health care or an exercise regimen. Some folks like to take a hot bath or read a book that is just sort of some kind of, you know, mindless book, fun book. Some people like to get together with a friend or have coffee with someone that they enjoy talking to. What fills your cup? What keeps you going? Where do you get your energy? And often when we step in, we all should be practicing self-care, but when we step into the caregiver role, that typically is the first thing that goes because there's not enough time left for ourselves. And that is a mistake. When we don't practice self-care, this leads to all kinds of issues for our mental wellness, which is what this is about, right? Mental wellness. People can experience all kinds of problems when they are running themselves too ragged, right? They're leading into burnout, where there's simply not much left in their cup. And that can lead to substance use, sleep issues, appetite issues, anxiety, depression. It doesn't allow us to be our mentally well self if we give too much with no self-care. Because those feelings and emotions have to come out somewhere. And if we don't acknowledge them and give time for thought and reflection and quiet time and things that, like I said, fill our cup, then they tend to come out in other ways. So it really is imperative, if you're in a caregiver role, even if it's small, to take care of you. Find some time to take care of you. We also have to think about how do we maintain our role with the loved one that we're taking care of. It's another way to talk about boundaries. How do we stay in our role with that person? For instance, if I have to take care of my dad, which I did in my life, how and when can I still be a daughter? At the end of it, and I look back, am I going to regret that all I was a caregiver? What I always say is add a drop of fun. If you can, add a drop of fun to your caregiving. With my father, he contracted cancer young and ended up dying young. But for the year that he was sick, I was one of his caregivers. And someone gave me this advice, and I'm very happy they did. And I became where it was all about the caregiving, and I wasn't really relating to him as a daughter. So I started, when we went for his chemo, we would watch a movie, or we would play a game of cards, or I would just tell him about my life. So he could also have his daughter back, and I wasn't just, you know, talking about appointments and treatments and his health and what he needed from the medical supply store and always caregiving subjects. I took care of my grandmother, and I also luckily was cognizant about making sure there were times I was still the granddaughter. And then my mother then was widowed and contracted ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease, and she was sick for 7 years. So I was a parent with small children taking care of her, and her needs were so high and so intense with that debilitating disease that I really had to work hard at finding moments where I was still a daughter. We would watch a movie, or I would do her hair for her, something where I could still be a daughter to her and she could experience her daughter and not just me being a caregiver. And when you're caregiving, know what you can and you can't do and own it. You know, I tried to do everything. I think most of us fall into that a lot. And I'm not a nurse. So luckily, I ultimately was fired. I was helping my mother with some personal care, and she fired me from that part of the duties. And it's a good thing she did. So give yourself grace to admit that you may not be able to do it all. You may just not be able to do all the things that have to be done. Ask for help and say yes to help. Say yes to help. So I am Anne-Marie Matthewd from Colchester Counseling Associates. And we will be right back after a short break. So we're talking today about caregiver stress. This is Anne Marie Mathewd on WTIC News Talk 1080. One of the other things to think about when we're a caregiver is we have to keep our other roles in our lives. So if we are parents, like I was a parent of four small children when I was taking care of my mother, how do we also stay in those roles? Mother, wife, you know, how do we manage all these roles? And I think it's important to acknowledge the feelings of your family members who might be affected. You know, elicit some conversation if you have children involved from your children or from your spouse or from other family members that you're sharing your life with. Create opportunity to talk about, you know, what's going well, what's not going so well. Most of the time, our families also will have a lot of feelings when we are sort of taken away from that and in a whole new role that requires time of ours. And so it's important to let all the people that you love around you also talk about their feelings. And how do you do that? Well, everybody's different. If you're dealing with teenagers and they're driving or learning to drive, I always say have them drive. If you go for a ride, have them drive. That's when they'll talk, right? Because they can't do other things like be on their phone. Or maybe you create an opportunity at dinner time. Or maybe you go on a family outing and you just bring these things up, or you bring it up with your partner or your spouse so that they have a way to express their feelings as well about you being in this caregiver role. You know, we have so many different emotions when we're a caregiver. Some of them, and this is not all of them, some of them include feeling overwhelmed, you know, with all this responsibility, feeling frustrated or angry. You know, we might be angry at our patient. We might be angry that we have to deal with this. Hopefully we don't tell the person we're caring for. In some cases you could, but you might have some anger and frustration about having to do this new role in your life. Or perhaps you're angry or frustrated with them because they're not getting better and it's because they're not following certain things that they should be doing. So frustration and anger is part of being a caregiver. You might be angry that you have to give up other things in your life and you wish you didn't. And it's okay. It's okay to have those feelings, and it's okay to admit them, and it's okay to talk about them. You know, talking with either, if you have a therapist, great, or talking with your support systems and being honest with how you feel. You might feel depressed. You know, especially in my case, my mother had ALS, which is incurable and there's no treatment and it's terminal. So that was sad. That was sad to watch. But yet I had trouble expressing that sadness all the time because I certainly didn't want to do it in front of her. So where do we put those feelings? They have to go somewhere. And it's important to talk about them, and it's okay to feel them. You might feel anxious. Maybe you're worried about the situation. Maybe you're worried about whether or not you are really the right caregiver, or if you're doing a good job. Or you're worried about the other people in your life that now have less time of yours. All kinds of things can cause us anxiety when we're in this role. You might feel scared. Maybe you're scared of what your loved one is dealing with, or you don't understand it, and it frightens you. You know, there's all different feelings, and they're all okay. That's just to name a few. And what happens then is we're in a heightened emotional state from our usual baseline. I've talked a little bit before about a baseline, I like to call it, where we wake up every day and we all have a different baseline of emotion, a place that we start most of our days. And then life comes at us. So, you know, sometimes life will throw us a curveball and our baseline is lower. Sometimes life will throw us really great things and our baseline is higher. When we're a caregiver, oftentimes we're waking up in the morning and our baseline is already lower than it should be. So what happens then is it doesn't take a lot to tip our scale, right? So we have to know that about ourselves. We might have a bit of, you know, less patience, and we might let things upset us more and than we usually do. And that's because our baseline is lower. So when it's low, what do you do to take care of you? And that's why we talk so much about self-care. What do you do to make sure that you're okay and to make sure that you can keep your baseline as high as you can keep it in the situation you're in? It's not going to be a normal baseline. That would be unrealistic. But you can try to make it as high as it can be, and then you'll have less space that can get you into trouble. You know, at the end of caregiving, oftentimes we might feel relieved. And then we might feel guilty that we feel relieved. But the reality is that does not mean that we didn't love the person. If they pass on, it doesn't mean that we're not going to miss them. But are we going to miss caregiving? Are we going to miss watching someone suffer? No. And it is perfectly fine to admit that part of you is relieved. And some folks have a hard time admitting that. Somehow they feel that that's wrong to say or wrong to admit. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. We have to be honest with ourselves. So if you are caregiving, I commend you, whether you are very happy to be caring for someone or you are struggling. Either way, it's a beautiful gift of your time and love, and for that, you should be proud. You know, just remember, caregive you too. Make sure you're involved in your caregiving plan. So this is Anne Marie Matthewd. I am a licensed marriage and family therapist. I've been licensed in the state for about 30 years. And my practice is Colchester Counseling Associates. And our contact information is 860-537-5280. And this is WTIC News Talk 1080, Mental Wellness. And thank you for listening.
This has been Mental Wellness with Anne Marie Matthewd. Be sure to tune in 2 weeks for the next Mental Wellness on WTIC News Talk 1080. Till then, stay well.